The prison abuses documented in Iraq include sexual humiliation, prisoners forced into uncomfortable positions, hoods placed over their heads, actions that may fall short of torture but still violate international law. Regulations that govern torture include the Geneva Conventions and the International Convention Against Torture. It states torture means any act that inflicts severe pain and suffering, physical or mental. Mitch Frank has been investigating this subject for Time magazine, and he says that what constitutes severe pain is one of many gray areas.
Really, most experts agree that the Convention Against Torture makes it pretty clear that you can't put prisoners through any sort of physical or mental stress in interrogation. But really, how far nations go to try to obey that has often been controversial. And there are more explicit portions of the treaty that that the administration has already violated and clearly violated.
Let's go through some of the conditions at Abu Ghraib that have come out now. The Red Cross report that's been released talks about what they consider to be standard operating procedure in that prison to hold prisoners naked and in completely dark and empty cells. Would that be prohibited?
Yes, that would be prohibited. That would fall under the category of both putting your prisoners through sensory deprivation by putting them in the dark or in blinding light or in some sort of surrounding that keeps them from being able to get any sort of hold on their circumstances. It's disorienting.
The Red Cross also mentioned exposure to loud noise, music, and often hot sun.
Yes, the idea, again, is to put prisoners through as many uncomfortable swings as possible. A lot of times they're exposed to incredible heat left in a metal cargo container or then doused with water in a frigid room. The temperature can swing from anywhere between 100 to 10 degrees.
Is there any allowance made for what sort of information a prisoner might have? You read often about the Israeli standard, which is called the ticking bomb standard. In other words, if they can prevent an imminent attack, if somebody has information that could save people's lives, then maybe that standard can be relaxed a little bit in how that prisoner is treated.
The ticking bomb scenario has long been a problem for countries to wrestle with. Israel, yes, they struggled for it a while. In the 80s, they ruled that in cases where there was an immediate danger to life, a suicide bomber planning an attack, then what they called moderate physical pressure was allowed. And what they found was, over the next 10 years, it's a very slippery slope. Next thing you know, you're torturing the neighbor of the suspect to try to get information out of them. And so it's something that international agreements certainly outlaw. But since 9/11, if you talk to most people in the country, their attitude has certainly moved on torture and how much they're willing to tolerate.
Are you getting a sense that that shift, that post 9/11 shift, is reflected within the military itself?
Well, there are reports, and they're from background sources in the military, the time has heard that the Defense Department, after some of their early experiences at Guantanamo Bay, developed a lengthy, some reports say 72-page, stress matrix report, kind of an organized plan on how much stress and duress they can subject the prisoners to. And eventually, if you get enough approval all the way up in the Pentagon, you can use some pretty tough methods. So the military has definitely been leaning towards taking the gloves off since 9/11. And the question is that what led to these abuses?
Okay, Mitch Frank, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Mitch Frank is a reporter with Time magazine in New York.